I want to ask you this morning, to begin with, what is your opinion of yourself? What do you think of yourself? Okay? Are you a half empty or a half full type of person? How would you, half full, half full? Any advance in half full? Full, yeah, half full? Good, good, good.
You know?
There's always one. Yeah. You know, it's actually something that's so important, because as Christians we can often have a negative view of ourselves. Especially if you start to think about, well, what have I got to offer God in terms of service? What could I possibly give? And therefore we can often put ourselves down and have a negative impact on ourselves. And of course, this kind of thinking towards yourself will have an impact on the church. And it doesn't help when we find opposition all around us in conflict with the Word of God. At times you can be left feeling like aliens. It's almost as though we're out of step with the rest of the world. But I suppose the truth is, we are. And in many ways, we should be. God's way is not man's way. And often the challenges that we face can take us by surprise. Even when we fully believe and trust in God, our own thinking can actually get in the way. I suppose what we have to deal with today is how we face the challenges against our faith. Does God still heal today? Does prayer really work? Is Jesus who he says he is? And of course, we all know as believers, the answer to each of these is yes. But what about the reality of living up to what we believe is the real challenge? Even when we've seen people getting healed, we've seen or we've heard of prayers being answered, we also know that Jesus is the Son of God. It does not mean that there will never be occasions when we are actually confronted with fully accepting what we say we believe. There will be times when our faith wavers. But if it's any comfort to you, we're actually in good company. The disciples of Jesus, who witnessed firsthand all that Jesus said and done, still faced these same things, still faced these same trials. Our scripture this morning is going to be looking at the miraculous event when Jesus fed 5,000 people. And we find this particular miracle recorded in all four Gospels, which is really helpful because it gives you extra information and you're given a bit more detail through this that's provided. In a moment, we're going to come to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. But just prior to reading this, earlier in Mark's Gospel, he records the successful mission when Jesus sent the disciples out in twos to minister into the surrounding villages. I find it in Mark chapter 6, verse 6 to 13. They preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons. And they anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So there they were. They were out on mission. And they came back and telling all these wonderful things to Jesus that they'd actually seen happen for them. So what a perfect way to return from a mission. All enthusiastic due to the fact that Jesus gave them authority to do this and it was fulfilled. I'm sure they would have been fully fired up with faith, wouldn't they? Maybe. Let's see. We're going to read Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on. They ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the five loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. A remarkable story, a remarkable miracle, a remarkable work of God. Now I wonder, when you're tired, weary, and hungry, how do you cope? Do you get a bit cranky? Maybe impatient, moody, perhaps all three? From the very outset here, we have that Jesus recognizes the need of the disciples. So he begins making plans to give them rest, relaxation, and food. "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Sounds like a plan, but I'm sure you know what it's like when you're all prepared to sit down and relax and you get a text or a phone call to help someone, you know, with some kind of need that they ask for your help with. It's just a bit annoying, isn't it? You've been busy all day and you finally get time to sit down, and then the phone goes, somebody looking for something, and it can be a wee bit irritating. Or is that just the pastor? Thank you for not saying yes, okay? But how do we respond? As Jesus and the disciples head off in a boat for some peace, the plans change. A large crowd follows them. They're all waiting as Jesus and the disciples land on the shore. So we see 2 different reactions to this situation. And I wonder, which one would we have? Jesus sees them all and has compassion on them. The expression he uses is to say that they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost looking. Whereas the disciples' response was totally different. Just a few things are mentioned where they said, you know, it's a remote place, and it's already very late. Send the people away. Problem solved. You know, up until this point, this is the largest crowd that Jesus has had the opportunity to teach. Here we are with all these people who followed him and found him. And I suppose this highlights how easy we can actually become consumed by our needs and totally miss a real God-given opportunity to minister to others. Just send the people away. That was the suggestion from the disciples. It was a real inconvenience to their plans. A bit like that telephone call once you've settled in. The challenge to our faith as believers is having compassion 24/7. 24/7, just as Jesus did. Now, it may well be that's what the world looks for in the church. They expect you to be nice all the time, helpful all the time, always doing good. Is that us? But certainly when people look on, there seems to be that expectation. But let's be honest. We like church to be where and when we plan. That's when you have it in your diary. You attend your service, your various groups, the people that you choose to meet up with, and the time you choose to give to minister to others. And perhaps that's what the disciples were looking at. We've done all that. Now it's time for a break until something different cropped up. For us to live and serve by following the example of Jesus. Here's the news. It will not always suit our plans. It will not always suit the way that we intend. Serving Jesus will inconvenience us. Even after you've been ministering or serving, just when you think it's time for a break, what do you make of it? More people turn up. If we are serious about seeing the kingdom of God extended, it will mean setting aside our personal needs and priorities. In fact, if any church wants to see Jesus revealed in word and in deed, then they will need to be prepared to allow other people and the needs that they have to interfere with our schedule and our programs. An earlier phrase in the scripture says that people were coming and going, that they did not even have a chance to eat. This is what the kingdom of God really looks like, making ourselves available even when it's not convenient. Think about it. Why should we? Why should we? Well, think for a moment when you consider the disruption, inconvenience and suffering that Jesus went through for us. When Jesus was arrested, he was disowned by his friends, the disciples. He was mocked by the soldiers when they blindfolded him. They struck him and they asked him to prophesy, "Who hit you?" After this, he was flogged with a whip, then handed over to be crucified on a cross. Why would Jesus go through all of this? Why would he allow his life to be disrupted in this way? Well, simply because he considered you and I worthy to receive forgiveness for our sins. He considered us worthy. He was willing to pay the cost that allows us to know that that grace and the compassion of God, that if and when we accept him as our Saviour, he paid the price, but we receive the reward of eternal life. You see, this is the kind of interruption we need in our life, to allow Jesus into our lives, to allow him to be seen in us. And even this morning, I would say, if you've never taken that step, if you've never considered inviting Christ into your life, then take the opportunity today. Don't go another day without him, without knowing him for yourself. Allowing Jesus to interrupt your life will bring challenges, but the rewards are much more than you could ever, ever comprehend. You know, when the disciples were challenged with feeding 5,000, although apparently when you include the women and children who would have been there as well, it's more likely to have been between 8,000 and 10,000 people there. So when Jesus said, "You give them something to eat," how would you feel in that position? When you look round, you see all this mass of people And he says, you give them something to eat. What a challenge. What an inconvenience. No, I'd rather send them away home. Problem solved. Yet Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. Now, it's fair to say the disciples didn't exactly jump at the chance. Instead, they started to make the comments that, you know, it would take 8 months' wages. Should we spend that much on bread to give them something to eat? You know, sometimes it made me think, it's just like church. When a suggestion is made about some ministry, often our first thought is, how much will this cost? Again, maybe it's just a pastor. We need to get away from the mindset that every penny is a prisoner. I do have a reputation for being careful with money. Other people would use a different term, but I use careful with money. Okay. I'm not looking for any comments on that one. But it's especially with fellowship's finance. I care about these things. And there will have been times in the past where I know I've probably been tight. Okay? I recognise it. Yeah, stop nodding. But there comes a time when we have to realise there's a different cost. And what we have to give, we should give and allow God to do His work. Allow God to take His place. You know, if we look to do everything on the cheap, what kind of message does that then portray to the community that we're trying to reach? What does that say about their worth when we know the worth that we have in Christ? The compassion of Christ shines through. Even in this situation, He doesn't give the disciples a hard time, you know, over their comments about the cost. Instead, He says, go and see how many loaves they have. Go out there and ask. Go out there and see what there is in amongst the people. Well, I don't know about you, but with the numbers they faced, I'd be a bit apprehensive. You look round and see all these people and you think, goodness me, how are we going to manage that? So, to go back and see that there's only 5 loaves and 2 fish, this is where Jesus takes over. He uses what is available. It's simply what He asks of each of us. What do you have to offer? What do we have to offer? And allow Him to work on that, to work with that. So from there, Jesus simply gave thanks for what they had and distributed it. Now, it's interesting that they didn't just receive a bit of bread each. It actually tells you that they all ate and were satisfied. Now, if we passed a plate around here for bread and fish, some people would be quite careful in what they take. There would be others who'd fill their plate like that. Right, I'm not going to name names. Right? But you think in amongst that number of people, it would have been the same. There'd be some, but it tells you they all ate and were satisfied. They had enough to sustain them as a result of this. And I'm reminded that there's a hunger outside this room. There are people needing fed. There are people needing to hear the word of God. And perhaps even some inside here this morning, that you have that hunger. Those who are still holding back from allowing Jesus to meet the real need in us. You know, we should never lose sight of what Jesus has called each of us to be a part of. We are to direct those who are like lost sheep to find their way to the shepherd. It's not about directing to us or anything we do, it's direct them to the shepherd. Direct them to Jesus. So physically, the crowd who had gathered had their physical need met when Jesus fed them. But I'm sure spiritually, in amongst that number, there would have been many who would have responded by following after Jesus. So what about the disciples? Well, the reward certainly outweighed the inconvenience. They witnessed an amazing miracle and testimony to the measure of God's love, his care, and also his compassion for people. And it reminds me that we should never be in any doubt about the depth of God's love. Yeah, we might have to take it at a stretch sometimes to love some people. God doesn't. God doesn't. Think about the depth of his love. Don't restrict it by whatever ours is. Look to God to fulfill these things. May we be a people who display the love of God in his measure by offering whatever we have for his use and for his glory. You know, Jesus teaches us here that when we have a heart to reach our community, don't be afraid of starting small. Don't be afraid of starting small. You know, sometimes it's the easiest way to put yourself off. We convince ourselves that, you know, I'd be better not bothering with all I've got to offer. And just leave it at that and sit back. But, you know, we see from this miracle that when we place what we have in the hands of Jesus, we allow him to minister. We allow him to multiply and to meet the needs that we cannot. We also know from John's Gospel account of this event, there was a small boy's lunch that was given up with only 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Now, apparently, barley loaves in Jesus' day was just food for the poor. So I don't know what kind of picture you get in your head when you think about 5 loaves. Do you think of the big bloomer loaf that you get in Tesco? It wouldn't have been that. 5 barley loaves was the kind of produce that they would have for the poor. And because of that, it actually makes this small boy's sacrifice even more significant. What if he kept quiet for fear or embarrassment because of all he had to offer? He could easily have been overwhelmed by the numbers as he looked around him, thinking that, you know, there's no point in offering this. I'll just keep quiet and hide the packed lunch that my mum gave me. And yet, look at what happens when we give to God whatever we have. Perhaps it's time to stop looking at what we as a church can give. And the reality is, it will never be enough. It will never, ever be enough. We need to see the increase of God touching whatever we give. When you give something, ask God to bless it. When you're offering something, ask him to multiply it for his purpose, for his good, for his kingdom. Because otherwise, we'll hold on to it, or give it, and think about the cost, think about the embarrassment, that's not enough. You know, all the different things that would come into our mind, instead of, Lord, here's what I have, would you please multiply this? Would you bless it so that it will bless others? Would you bless it, Lord, so that it will extend your kingdom? Start looking to see what God can do through whatever we offer. We need to see the increase of God touching whatever we give. This act of love from Jesus was given with no strings attached. He did not pick and choose who would be fed. He didn't ask the disciples to find out, just check first, who is it that follows after me? He didn't put conditions on it. He didn't say, who are the real followers? He looked out, he seen the people, he had compassion, he fed them all. And again, it's a word to us, don't pick and choose. allow God to minister to who He would choose to minister. He's simply seen a need and met it. Is that the approach that we need today in the church towards the community? Lord, this is all I have, but would you bless it? Would you allow increase? Would you multiply it? Would you allow it to see it touch the heart of others? Lord, it's all I have, but with you, you can do amazing things. See the increase that God can do. It's not so much about what you offer, but it's offering it to God for His use and His purpose. You know, we can clearly see the need around us for a personal Saviour. It's clear that many people are still in darkness. There are many people still lost looking for that shepherd. And God is saying to us this morning, will you be that one that would help point them? Would you give what you have and allow God to minister through you? You know, it was a Christian, Heidi Baker. She was a Christian missionary and also an author. When she was speaking about sharing the love of Jesus with everyone, she said, you know, it's not complicated. Just love the one in front of you. And I suppose it simplifies it, because often we can look at it and think, oh, too big a project, too many people, we'll never do that, we'll never reach all the aim. When simply breaking it down, love the person in front of you. It might be your next door neighbour, it might be a workmate, it might be whoever. Love the person in front of you. Simply allow the love of Jesus to be seen and to be visible through us. So when Jesus asks us to partner with Him in making His love known, it's simply whatever we have in our hands, let's give it to Him. Let's give it to Him. Let's give our all. Because Jesus gave His all for you and me. He thought we were worth it. And there are many, many more people outside these walls who are worth it, who need to hear about Jesus. You know, may we have the same heart as Jesus has when we look out, when we look to reach out to the community and allow Jesus, who is in us, to be revealed. Let that be the cry of our heart. And I would just close in saying that if you're in any doubt this morning whether Jesus is in you or not, then please come and speak with me at the end. Let's have these things confirmed. Let's not drag out, you know, any doubts and wonder. Be assertive. Do something about it. Make a decision. So if you're in any doubt, then please come and speak to me at the end. Because it's simply about giving yourself, no strings attached. Oh, mate, I need to sort this, I need to do that, I need that. No, you don't. Jesus simply wants to love you. Simply wants to show His compassion and His love and use us to extend that to others. It's all about the glory going to Him. It's not really about what we can do, but we can be a part of it. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to hand back to, it'll be Robbie and Liz to lead.